Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Alan Chartok. Berkshire Theatre Group is presenting a week-long opera festival in Stockbridge, Massachusetts through this weekend. Part of the workshop festival is a fully staged production of Verdi opera La Traviata. It will have a performance at Berkshire Theatre Group's Unicorn Theatre Friday, August 29th at 8 p.m. and Sunday, August 31st at 2 p.m. We're joined now by Cody Austin, a Texan tenor who sings the role of Alfredo in this production. He recently appeared at Grand Rapids Opera, Des Moines, Iowa, and Utah Opera. We're also joined by Dr. Michael Fennelly, the music director of La Traviata. Michael is a concert pianist who made his Carnegie Hall debut as a solo artist. He won the Horowitz competition in Kiev, very much in the news these days, and has performed on every continent. He is also an orchestral conductor. Cody Austin and Dr. Michael Fennelly, thanks for being here.
We're glad to be here.
Yeah. Good morning, Alan. Thank you for having us.
Is that right? There's never a microphone in
there? There's not a microphone. Definition. I think that's why the craft has stood the sands of time, is because it's so unique. It's a freak of nature to be able to sing without a mic and be able to project and fill a hall.
Wow.
Yeah, microphones were not till 1920s. The first time they used a microphone was in 1950s in Bernstein's West Side Story. Before that was absolutely just human voice, and that's what opera is, and that's what we'll be doing this weekend.
So tell us about La Traviata. Why is this so important?
Traviata is probably the top three most popular operas, and the reason is because, first of all, the music's fantastic. You're going to hear fantastic singing by Cody Austin, our tenor, and Manon Evrard, our soprano, both world-renowned singers. But besides that, the story is the first story in opera. Previous it had the opera seria, where it's about gods and kings and counts and things that weren't personal. But this is the first opera that has a real, actual story. It's set in Paris in the 1840s, and there's this girl, Marie Duplessis, a real historical person. She was born in the boondocks outside Paris. She came to Paris when she was 15 and was so beautiful and so witty. She rose to the height of her culture, which is the Paris Salon. And everybody loved her. And she had an affair with Dumas, Alexandre Dumas, the son of the author who wrote Count of Monte Cristo. And she died from being weak and just being young when she was 21. And he wrote a book about that. That book became the bestseller of its year. And so Verdi set as an opera soon after that, because he was with a woman, the same situation, but they weren't married. He couldn't introduce her to society. So this resonated with his life. So this was the first opera to reflect a real marriage of people, a family, and not kings and queens, and that opened a whole new era of opera called Verismo, which includes Carmen and all the other popular popular operas like this.
Cody, what does it take to do this one? Is this harder or easier than other operas, or is that a silly question?
I don't think it's harder than any other opera. I mean, there are definitely some certain roles that fit your voice better than others, and this just happens to fit me like a glove. This story is something that everyone can relate to. Everyone. Mm-hmm. Whether you're old, young, never seen opera before, you can relate to the story. That's why there's been so many, the story has been used in so many different ways. There's movies, Pretty Woman.
We didn't mention the story. It's about a man falls in love with a girl, and his parents won't let them be together. So they separate them, and it's tragic consequences. So everybody knows the feeling of having your parents interfere with your love life.
Now, to be in love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about language?
It's in Italian. In Italian. And
The Berkshire Theatre Festival doesn't have...
We have super titles, so you will know what a super title is going to be above the stage.
English. Very important.
In English, to where people will know everything that's going on. It's fully staged, a full production. It's very intimate. You're right there, right? I mean, you'll feel the power of our voices, and it's very possible if you're close enough, we might even spit on you. You never know.
So, yeah. Dr. Michael Fennelly, what is your PhD in?
Oh, well, it's actually a DMA. That's Doctoral of Musical Arts, and that's in piano playing, what we'd call it. And you have to study I've been in school from kindergarten to 30 years old, and you learn all about music history. And
where did you do it?
I went to Eastman, right up in Rochester, yeah. Manhattan School and Juilliard.
Wow, that's quite a pedigree.
Well, it takes a long time.
Right. So what does it take to, and why, are we seeing this? I mean, we have the Metropolitan Opera. We have the, you go to the Mahewey Theater and you can see the live Met. Why do this?
When you see the live Met not in the hall, you're hearing speakers and not real voices. Also, I mean, the Met is a 3,500-seat theater with a big orchestra and a big stage, and that's great, but that's not the way the operas were set in the 19th century. They'd be really the court theaters from the 18th century with about maybe 500-seat theater, much like what we'll have on this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And it's much more intimate than that. And so if you can see the actors, and by the way, they have beautiful costumes from the costume designer in the Met. The wig designer is from the Met. And they have beautiful visuals.
So how much does this thing cost?
Well, you may know this. The mankind's most expensive non-profit engagement is war. Like, they don't expect money on it.
Number two?
Is opera. It's the most money-losing endeavor in the world. But that's not why people go. People go because they love to hear it, and the story is fantastic.
They love the story. They love the voices.
And tenors, Cody's a little modest here, but you were mentioning, why do people go to opera? They hear to go high notes. That's the biggest reason to sing what we call a high C.
Yeah, sure.
And a tenor who can sing a high C, like Cody, it's probably 50 people in the world who can do what he does. And it's amazing. And Manal also.
Cody, when did you learn that you had this talent to sing that high C?
You know, probably about 9 years ago. At the Academy of Vocal Arts, I had a teacher who helped me learn how to produce a really great high C, and it was based off of breathing and great technique and a lot of work and just God-given natural talent.
Have you ever reached for it and it hadn't been? It hasn't
been there. Absolutely. I have crashed and burned on a high C before, but there's more to music than just high notes. I thank you for saying that I have a nice high C, but music has always, for me, has always been a part of my life. I don't really feel like I chose opera. I feel like opera just kind of chose me. And so this role is so much fun to play. Manon is a fantastic colleague to work with. She's a beautiful Violetta. And she doesn't make it very hard to fall in love with. I mean, she's gorgeous and she's, you know, a really great actress. And we have a lot of fun. We've done the show together, she and I, now 5 times.
Really?
No, I'm sorry. It's 7 times.
And where have you done it?
At the Lyric Opera Virginia, we did it there. We did it in the Skytop Festival.
In Pennsylvania?
A couple times, yeah.
And she's performed on her own in Prague, in Czechoslovakia.
Now, she says, we're getting into the area of stereotypes now. You know, you said she's beautiful. This is the oldest thing, and you say opera, somebody says the fat lady sings. Has that changed?
She's not fat. She's beautiful.
She's definitely
well,
not fat.
This is so, one result of the Met's broadcast on HD. You have to have beautiful voices and beautiful people singing it now. So people prefer to have good-looking stars.
And they require the triple threat now. You have to be good-looking. Not only, well, first you have to be able to sing.
Yeah.
You have to be able to act, and you got to be good looking.
Yeah,
you got the triple threat, you're set.
So this acting thing has always been interesting to me about opera. Is it really acting? I mean, you have to be believable as an individual as opposed to just belting out the next opera.
Absolutely.
You know, opera singers don't call themselves opera singers. They call them singing actors. They're actors first, and then they sing the music. But there should be no difference between a film actor, stage actor, Shakespeare actor, and an opera singer. It takes the same amount of training, and they have... You know, opera is the most complex art form, and you'll see it. We have dancing, ballet. We have an actual ballet dancer in a lot of it. You have an orchestra. You have the singers. You have all the other parts. It's quite a complex endeavor.
So stop right there. The orchestra itself, how do you get an orchestra together?
Well, you know, these are the big, you have the whole symphony orchestra under the pit at the Met. You know, there are 100 people.
Yeah.
It's one of the best orchestras in the world, all to support Cody's singing, you know. And here we have all the musicians on the stage with the singer, so they're actually interacting with the thing. You mentioned the very beginning that this is a week-long festival, and we have a play called Lover's Tale. We have our opera La Traviata Friday and Sunday, and on Saturday night, we have a program that's based on 1840s salon music in Paris, which is what you would have seen if you actually went to this opera at the time. It's ballet dancing, singing, flute player, mostly cast will be in this concert. And so the whole week is exploring everything to do with every facet of this Traviata.
You're listening to Dr. Michael Fennelly. Last up, and before him, Cody Austin. You were introduced as the Texas tenor. Is there something about being from Texas that has impacted you as an opera singer?
I guess it's just where I'm from. There's a lot of Texas opera singers, believe it or not. There's a lot of very talented people. Just the other day, someone was saying, is there something in the water down there? Because there's a lot of great opera singers that are coming out of Texas, and there really is. I wouldn't say there's anything to the fact that I'm from Texas that makes me an opera singer. It's just in general, grew up there, and it took the taking the initiative for myself and my wife to move to the East Coast to really fine tune my instrument and actually just recently I went back to Texas on a 5-week long tour, and I got a chance to come back with what I've produced and what I've done, and they were just like, "Whoa, you've totally culturized us. This is so beautiful. We really love this." And it was interesting because they never thought, you know, a lot of my friends never thought I would ever amount to being an opera singer of any sort. So
Start in the shower?
Of course. Yeah. Well, this is a funny story, but my mom always told me, she said, I always knew where you were when you were singing because you're always singing in the bathroom. So whether I was going to the bathroom or I was in the shower, I always sing. I love to sing all the time.
He still does. He sings all the time. We were playing ping pong till 3 in the morning last night. He was singing all the time.
A lot of times, you know, I'm sorry to cut you off, but a lot of times, in general, you find that gift in life that you're really good at, and you do that. And I truly believe everyone has a gift. It's finding that gift and using it to its fullest extent is our job as people.
Michael Fennelly, tell me about what the music director does. Do you conduct the orchestra?
Sure. You know, you have to prepare. We've been here for weeks. You know, the first thing you have to do is arrange the score how you want it. Then you have to hire everybody. And everybody wants to come to Berkshire's.
So. It's true. But how do you put it out? How do you put it out there?
Yeah. Well, I know a lot of people in New York City. Most of the people are colleagues of mine in New York. And right. So you get the two stars. And then you have to get, there's 5 supporting roles, which are all very good opera singers also. And so we get those. And then you have to get the chorus people and the smaller parts. And then you have to get a director and the costumes and all this stuff. For the music part, you show up on the first day, you do the music, and people are very professional. They have it ready the first day. Then you fine tune it.
How do we make it happen that we bring these sort of touring companies to localities as opposed to just the big boys?
Well, you know, everybody thinks New York is the big place to be, and it is, but it's much more gratifying for us to come to places where maybe there isn't opera every single night and to play those places because, you know, first of all, you get to see the audience a little closer, and you get to see people in the street who actually come, and it's just more exciting to play in places that don't necessarily know every note of this opera. But I'm sure there are people in Berkshires who know this. Do you want to sing something a little bit?
Yeah, sure.
Just sing us out.
Okay. I'll sing a little bit. It's at the very beginning of the show. It's probably one of the most recognizable tunes of the opera. It's the drinking song, the Brindisi.
And this is the whole cast, and it's a chorus and duet, but we're going to have tenor.
The 5 of us will play all the other parts.
Absolutely. Ready?
There we go.
Libiamo, libiamo negli eti calici che la bellezza infiora e là fuggevo l'ora sinebria voluta. Libiam ne dolci fremiti che suscita l'amore, poiché quell'occhio al cuore onnipotente va. Libiam, amore, amor fra i calici più cali bacia avrà.
Bravo, that was great. That was great.
Yeah,
La Traviata Beautiful. Will have performance at the Berkshire Theater Group's Unicorn Theater Friday, August 29th at 8 p.m., Sunday, August 31st at 2 p.m. For more information, visit berkshiretheatergroup.org. Cody Austin and Dr. Michael Fennelly, thank you so much for being here. Once again, BerkshireTheaterGroup.org for more information. You're listening to The Roundtable at WAMC.